If you would, turn to Ephesians 1 as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians. We'll focus our attention this morning on chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Let's read the text together. We'll read chapter 1, verses 1 through 16 together. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Let's commit this time to the Lord. Almighty God, as I read through this list, this letter again, I am reminded of your goodness and your mercies towards your people. Just in these few verses, it is so rich, so dense of the many things that you have done for us as your people. May it cause us to be grateful, and may it cause us to continue to persevere in Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our sermon title this morning is Gratitude and Prayer. Gratitude and Prayer. So far in chapter 1 of the letter to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul has laid out for his readers and for us the fullness and the richness of the glory of God's work of salvation to the believer, and much of the blessings that we receive through our union with Christ. And here, Paul transitions. He pauses, if you will, from what can really only be explained as an excited and doctrinally dense praise to God. He pauses, transitioning from that really dense doctrine to tell the church what effect their salvation has had on him. These two verses, we can kind of take a breath in some respect. And they're simple, but they too glorify God. This section of the letter is filled with insight, I suppose. about how we, as followers of Christ, are to live in both gratitude, thankfulness, as well as prayer, how our lives are to be marked by prayer. Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, expressing his deep thankfulness to God for their faith and their love for one another. As we begin verse 15, Paul writes, for this reason. Here, Paul transitions, right? He's making a connection between all that doctrine, right? All of these doctrinal truths we've just gone through and what he's about to present. For this reason, Paul is about to present how these things, all these doctrinal truths, affect our lives. And he does so by showing the impact that all of these truths are present within the believer, but specifically present in the Ephesians and how that affects him. For this reason, Paul has presented all of this doctrine, and now he says, I've heard that this is true of you. The Ephesians, their present standing in God's grace, which he has heard about, for that reason, where the Ephesians are at. The Ephesians heard the Lord's effectual call. They believed unto life. They've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And they are continuing in the faith. Remember, at this point, at the time of Paul's writing of this letter, 4 to 5 years have gone by, right, since he has been in Ephesus. He's now in prison for preaching the gospel and teaching these doctrines. How does Paul know that these Ephesians, what does he know about them? How does he know that they are faithful and love the saints? Well, it says Paul has heard, right? He's heard this of them. People know, right? People have noticed. The evidence of their election, calling, conversion to Christ has been made known, right? Others have confirmed to Paul that his labors among the Ephesians have not been in vain. This has got to be an encouragement to Paul, who is sitting there in prison. Those that either visit him or are writing letters to him in correspondence give him updates as to all those that he's ministered to. Believers that came to Christ because of Paul's preaching, his missionary journeys. Churches that he planted that are still running strong. Those that he pastored, continuing in the faith. Christians who are still faithful in his absence. So as Paul sits here in prison, he knows, he is assured that God has used him in the lives of these Ephesians to bring them to maturity in Christ. But also, as much of an encouragement as this is to Paul, what an encouragement this must have been to the Ephesians. To be told by the apostle that they are on the right path, that they're on track. This must have been a boost, if you will, to their assurance. They're told that others have recognized what exists in them now. What a confirmation of their faith. Paul says, I have heard all of these things, right, all these doctrinal truths are true of you. So I have every confidence from what I've heard about you that you do indeed possess everything discussed in this letter, in verses 3 to 14, right, up until this point. God working among and in them saving faith. And it causes Paul's reaction. He erupts. He in praise, he gives God thanks for them. And then he tells them how he prays for those that are also included in this group, right? For fellow believers, how he prays specifically for Christians, right? His brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is characteristic of Paul. What an encouragement, right, to receive a note or a letter like this. He sends a church, a letter to the church, the Colossians, right? Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And he introduces that. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Right? So gratitude and prayer. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." Right? He prays for them. He thanks God for them, for their faith. Right? "We heard that you have come to faith in them. We thank God for you and we pray for you. And we've also heard of the love that you have for all the saints." Right? Evidence that he hears of this faith. So he's writing to churches. He does this over and over and over again. And he says some very similar things. Also to individuals, right? A letter goes to Philemon, which is also passed around to the churches. Philemon 1, verses 4 to 5. "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers." Again, gratefulness and prayer. "Because I hear of your love," so love, "and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus for all the saints." Very similar wording, right? But he's writing to individuals, he's writing to churches, and he hears of what is going on. "I hear of your love. I hear of the evidence of your faith. And I constantly remember you in my prayers. And I constantly thank my God, right, always for you." He tells them that ever since he heard about their faith, he has not stopped giving thanks and has continued to pray for them. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 reads, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." Over 5 years, right? Paul hasn't been there, but he's hearing how they love each other. He's grateful, yes, for their faith, but he's praying again for their love for each other as it abounds, as it increases. Again, notice that Paul hears from others, right? The Ephesians are not saying, "Hey, Paul, did you see our works? Right? Look what we've done, Paul." No, word spreads of their genuine faith and love for each other. They're not boasting, right? Others are bringing attention to their good deeds. "People have told me about your faith," Paul can say. "I've heard, right, news has spread of your love for all the saints." Right, having heard, it says, "which exists among you of the faith." Right, it exists. Proverbs 27:2. "Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips." It's wisdom. You're not to boast in yourself, but but let another praise you. Even a stranger. Hey, Paul, did you preach to those guys in Ephesus, right? Man, they continue in the doctrine, right? The apostolic doctrine. Man, they love each other so much. Do you know them? No, man, but I heard this and I saw this, right? A stranger to them, praising them and giving word to Paul. So again, I want to bring two essential marks of the Christian life to the forefront here. Gratitude and prayer. First, what is the foundation? What is the basis for Paul's gratitude? What's the basis or the foundation of Paul's gratitude? First, it's his brothers and sisters' faith in Christ. That's the foundation. Now he could say, I heard that you guys love each other. But that's not the foundation. That is the fruit. That is the evidence of their faith in Christ. It begins there. Paul begins by acknowledging the faith of the Ephesians in the Lord Jesus. They have continued in right doctrine, right? That's faith. They have continued in right doctrine. They have continued in the doctrine that Paul preached to them. It is their faith in Christ that moves Paul to gratitude. Gratitude and prayer are both features of, again, Paul's personal practice. And he is our example. All right, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So understand, Paul, he not only preached Christ to them, right, on his missionary journeys, he was their pastor for 3 years. He taught them diligently in these doctrines. Paul cared for these people, right? His shepherd's heart is still directed towards them. He spent time in their homes, counseling them. He ate meals with them, right? His care, his pastoral heart is evident. And what a blessing to hear, right? Notice the frequency of his thanksgiving. It's always. What a blessing to hear that they have continued, that their faith is genuine. He says, constantly, he recognizes that their faith is a gift, a gracious gift of God. Thankful for all that God has done for them. Understand that these are, right, these are part of this group that he's been speaking about, the elect, that they were part of the elect, or are part of the elect. These are those that were predestined to eternal life from before the foundation of the world. And because of his faithful preaching of the gospel, and teaching them, they have been regenerated, and find themselves in Christ. Because Paul was, remember, the first to hope in Christ to the praise of his glory, he is able now to see his brothers and sisters progress in the faith. Remember what we discussed last week, right, about being first, how the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. I use the term chronologically preferred. Paul was chronologically preferred, and therefore, he is blessed by the Ephesians that are following the Lord. It has been confirmed by others that they are following in the apostles' doctrine, that they have indeed received the inheritance. They have redemption in Christ's blood. They have the forgiveness of their sins against God. They're following Christ. Paul has reaped a harvest among the Gentiles, all for his own obedience to the Lord. And he seems to full of joy, right? His state of mind when he thinks about their current spiritual maturity is joyous. He's in prison, but he can rejoice in them. And his praying tends towards increasing those things, perpetuating, right, the same growth in faith and love. I'm praying, right, thankful to God, and praying for you, right, to continue in this, that it would be increasing, perpetual. This is how he prays for Christians, his fellow believers. God's goodness in the past, right, should continue, right? We have a larger expectation of his goodness to continue and even build in the future. He's been away for 5 years, right? It should build. It should extend. It should go further. There are probably many that he maybe doesn't even know their names that have been converted, right? Because they're following in his practice and preaching and teaching, and others are being converted. So he prays. This is how he prays for his fellow believers. Understand that a crucial truth here, our faith is the foundation of our life in Christ. Not our works, our faith is the foundation. It's not just an abstract belief that we have or some intellectual agreement to factual information about a man that lived 2,000 years ago, that healed people, that was even raised from the dead, ascended. It's not just intellectual agreement with facts. It is a life-transforming commitment, a wholehearted submission to Jesus. As not simply our Savior from hell, but also the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the one we read about that is enthroned in heaven, all authority given to him. When we truly grasp the magnitude of who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished on behalf of those that were given to him by the Father, think of those things, right? We've been through, 13 verses or so, his calling, his atoning sacrificial death, redemption by his blood, satisfaction of God's wrath, regeneration, adoption, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, grace upon grace, his promise of eternal life, inheritance, sealing with the Holy Spirit. How can we not live with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude? Not just for what he has done for us, but for who he is. Not only for what he's done for us, but also for all that he's done for those that we fellowship with, that we have fellowship with, that we've been brought into family with. He offers to those who would repent, still speaking of what work Christ has done, he offers to those that would repent of their sin and follow after him his righteousness. Sinful creatures given his righteousness. How can we not respond with gratitude? As followers of Christ, we're called to continually cultivate a heart of gratitude, not only for our personal faith, but for the faith we see in others. Do we give thanks when we witness the faith of others? Are we grateful for the work God is doing in their lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters? Paul doesn't stop at recognizing their faith. He points to their love for all God's people. This is the fellowship that they have, the unity that they have. Their fellowship is based upon their faith. Not some interest, not some like-minded, oh man, I really like that kind of music too. Oh, I really like this. I like that. Right? No, no. It's based upon their like faith, based on the truths that they hold in common. And again, this is the natural outflow of genuine faith, love. Faith in Christ is not a private thing. Faith in Christ is not confined to our individual relationship with Him. True faith leads to love, love for God and love for others. This is the heart of the Christian life. Jesus Himself says in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love for all God's people is the fruit of genuine faith. It is the evidence that you are indeed one of Christ's disciples, that you are His follower, having turned from your sin, that you are being conformed to the image of Christ. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. When Paul hears about the Ephesian believers, he doesn't just hear about their faith. He hears about their love. He's told about their works. Ephesians 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus." Their love for the saints proves that they are faithful. The faithful ones, if you will. Evidence that they are faithful in Christ. This love is a powerful testimony to the world. They see the love or lack of love that we have for each other. It's a powerful testimony. And for us, it's an encouragement, right? It's an encouragement to other believers, a source of encouragement as we see Christians in community, in unity, loving each other and expressing that in service, in their works. Paul is encouraged. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." Do you know that you've been passed, that you've passed from death to life? You can know that because you love the brothers. How are we doing in this area? Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we known for the way we care for one another, support one another, serve one another? Paul gives thanks not just for their faith, but for the evidence of their faith, which is exemplified and expressed in their love. Finally, Paul tells the Ephesians that he has not stopped giving thanks for them, right? Remembering them in his prayers. It's a beautiful picture of persistent, unceasing gratitude and prayer. Paul's response to the faith and love of the Ephesians is not just a one-time expression of thanks. It is continuous, ongoing. It has not stopped. Paul says, "I do not stop. I do not cease to give thanks for you. I do not stop. I do not cease remembering you in my prayers." He is constantly thanking God for them and lifting them up in prayer. We can learn a great deal here from the apostle. The apostle Paul teaches us an important lesson. Prayer and gratitude should be constants in the life of a believer. How often do we give thanks for others in our lives? How often do we pray for them? Or are we consumed with self, praying for our own needs, desires. Paul's example challenges us to be persistent in our prayers, to develop a sort of rhythm of gratefulness, a rhythm of thanksgiving, a regular, consistent, and persistent bringing our brothers and sisters to Christ, in Christ, before the throne of God. Bring your brothers and sisters consistently and persistently before the throne of grace. Again, this is Paul's character. He is marked by his prayer life. He is constantly telling those he writes to that he is making mention of you in my prayers. In Romans 1:9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." For God is my witness. Colossians 1:3, "I give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Thessalonians 1:2, "We give thanks to God always for you, for always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." 1 Thessalonians 3:10, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." And Philemon 1:4, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." Wouldn't you have liked to be on Paul's prayer list? Always, consistently, persistently, without ceasing, exceedingly. I know there are many ways that we can serve each other. But prayer is above, or prayer is really at the top. And you all have the ability to do that. You can sit in your recliner at home, close your eyes, and pray and pray and pray. You can take a walk, get a little exercise in, and pray and pray and pray. Make a list. Think of the different families in your church. Think of individuals in your church. Pray for our government. Pray for missionaries. Pray for opportunity. But pray for your brothers and sisters. Lift them up. Bring them to the throne of the throne of grace consistently, persistently. We often, well, we live in a world really that focuses on what's wrong, what could go wrong, what is lacking, what we don't have. But Paul's example encourages us to shift that perspective, to live with eyes that see what God is doing in the lives of others. And rather than being jealous or self-absorbed, right, we can respond with thanksgiving to God and prayer for them. Paul's in prison. Imagine how our relationships, our church, even our community could be transformed if we were known as people of gratitude and prayer. Consistently and persistently praying for each other and giving thanks for all that God is doing. As we close, I do want to challenge you, challenge each of us to reflect on Paul's words here. How can we, like Paul, cultivate hearts of gratitude and lives of prayer? Be thankful. Be thankful for the faith and love we see in others. And acknowledge that God is at work in our midst. We're all at different places in our spiritual walk, whether we're more mature or young in the faith. With whatever measure our brothers and sisters have been blessed with, let us be thankful for the grace shown to them in Christ and the fruit we do see in their lives. Encourage one another. Build each other up in love. Commit to praying consistently and persistently for one another. Remember that prayer is not just a duty that we have, but it is a privilege. We may approach Almighty God boldly as his children. We can call him Father, and we can bring our brothers and sisters before him. Prayer is just another way that we may participate in the work that God is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters. We intercede for them. We bring them before the throne of grace. And as we go into this week, may we be known for our faith, for our love, our unceasing gratitude, and may we be a people who lift one another up in prayer, giving thanks for the work that God is doing both in and through us all. Let's pray. Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the faith that you have given to your people. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue in the apostles' doctrine, and that we would love each other. We thank you for gifting us with a love that you've given through your Son, Jesus Christ. We're grateful. We're grateful for the community of believers you've placed us around. Help us, Lord, to live in gratitude and to pray for one another continually. Strengthen our faith, deepen our love, and let our lives be a testimony to your goodness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.